I'm here with Alex Wadoff of, I believe it is Clear Lead. And you can absolutely correct me if I said that incorrectly or your company name incorrectly. I would love to know where your expertise is, from the past and how it's informing what you're doing right now with your agency.
So, my agency, Clearly Digital, we niche down from day one, on what we were going to do. And I think that was a lot of people were like kind of got a little freaked out about that, thinking we were making the market too small. And, so I came from the property management space, very well versed in property management, very involved in associations and, just very much had my finger on the pulse in that industry. Started doing websites for my own company and going down the SEO, you know, rabbit hole that it is becomes, and realized that no one in our industry was doing things right. And, it was bad SEO services, 300 character title tags, the greatest of the great were out there. And, we started, this agency because we wanted to make a difference in our industry. So, coming from the property management industry and having that trust, because let me say this, a lot of our clients are people we've known in the industry for years, friends, colleagues, friends of colleagues. So we have that level of trust off from day one, which I think is very important. Because a lot of these companies have been burned previously. So, we were able to kind of like walk through those doors a little easier, get those meetings a little quicker, mm-hmm. Than an agency off the street because we've had that, you know, the trust already built. We started the company to really just kind of make a change in the industry, and we have, and we're about 14 months in right now. We have a very good book of clients. We're growing very rapidly. But the thing is like we're seeing actual change, with the clients. We're seeing real growth with them. One thing that we do is we measure success on them adding a door to their portfolio. So adding a new client, and it's not the vanity metrics. It's the straight to the, you know, what's adding money into their pocket. And we're able to see now we have enough data now that we're further enough into it with some of our clients that we're able to see some really awesome growth and kind of just really get things to where they want them as far as like their high owner intent keywords and, you know, making sure that they are getting the clients that they want.
I think it's just kind of kismet that we are having this interview now because yesterday I literally interviewed Cameron Tope, who is in the property management business doing digital marketing. So I feel like I get to double dip and, you know, like hearing leads referred to, you know, homes referred to as doors, you know, that type of industry jargon. I'm like, I know what he's talking about. I'm curious from a marketing perspective, what is it about the audience for property management that is different with that you're customizing or tailoring your content to kind of resonate with those potential clients for that particular niche?
It's really just where they're at in the buying process. You know, there's people that are looking to, you know, that have a property that they're thinking about having it managed or being making it a rental. Then you have the people who are with a current property manager and they're hating it and they're looking to switch to another property manager. And then you have someone who is like, should have had a property manager 2 weeks ago and they need it now. So it's really just one, because one of the biggest things that agencies get wrong when they're working with property management companies is they leverage tenant keywords. And property management companies don't need tenants. They can throw a rock and they can hit 10 at the same time. And that's, you know, that's what Zillow's there for and all those major sites out there. They need owners who are looking for a trusted property manager. So one is we really leverage the content to position them as a expert in their industry, but also answer the questions that, you know, owners are looking for. When their tenants stop paying rent, what do they do? All those things that kind of position them as the expert, but just actually truly answer the question and form a true picture of what property management is and why they're doing it better.
That definitely makes sense because, you know, it's one of those things where as an agency, you know, the model of who you're trying to speak to changes based off of the business model. And so property management is unique because you really do have those two sides of the coin of like, oh, hey, I need a good, effective front-facing interface and marketing so that the people who are renting these units, but I'm really standing in for the owners. But at the end of the day, the marketing, yeah, like you're not going to get that many owners from people that only have a budget to rent. You know, there's not too many people who are looking to rent right now from property management that actually, oh, hey, yeah, actually I'm renting, but I also want to, you know, pay you to manage my other rental portfolios. Like that doesn't make sense.
Very rare. It happens sometimes. And most of the time that's usually a military family or something along those lines, but they're not in your market where they're actually renting. So we're usually referring them to someone else that, you know, is in another market. But it, yeah, definitely doesn't happen that often, but it can. But it's two separate avenues. And that's where we see that most companies just go wrong because, and here's my thing. I think that there's a place for that on their site. It's helped, you know, that helps. Tenant traffic is a lot more than owner traffic. So that you have to kind of balance that out, but you have to make sure that when you're doing it, you can have pieces of that where it's just the tenant, you know, content just to kind of help with your other aspects of your SEO, but just truly making sure that your homepage doesn't talk to owners and tenants. It's talking to owners, you know, making those pathways very clear.
I'm curious how deep your operations side goes because speed to lead was a huge thing when I talked to Cameron. Like we talked about the Ignivido study that said, you know, 68% of businesses never responded to a lead within 24 hours and only 5% responded within 5 minutes and 88% followed up once and then never contacted again. So I'm curious if your ops and process, you know, just sits on the very front and gathers those leads, or are you handling the operations for, you know, taking those calls, tapped into the CRM to see, you know, if the marketing output is funneling into useful leads? Because I have to admit, in honest moment as an SEO for a long time, it took me a long time to get wired into businesses deeper than, oh, hey, I've got the website. I'm doing the marketing. Here's a lead. Here's a lead. Here's a lead. Here's a lead.
What are they doing with it on the other end? What really matters.
Yeah. And I remember distinctly one meeting where I was like, oh, yeah, we killed it. We got 6 times more leads than last month. And the sales guy got up first. He's like, this has been the most dog shit lead generation cycle we have had the last month. We haven't closed a quarter of what we did the day before. What did you guys do? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I had a whole deck of like trumpeting, oh yeah, we did this and we got 6 times more leads out of it. But without the feedback pressure cycle from like, okay, well, you got more people to fill out, but were they the right?
That's important in this industry. Background on me, my background I was a director of business development for a property management company. So I was very much running the sales teams and doing all that. So I have that expertise in what happens after the lead comes in. So we do get involved. We very much monitor that. We, on our monthly check-ins where, you know, we're asking them, you know, how many leads you got, but how many were qualified. And that allows us to really, one, we've been able to identify in some of the companies that, hey, your business development manager doesn't look like they're picking up the calls, you know, or there's something, you know, because speed to lead is so important. If you're not, especially, you know, if you're, let's say probably 10 years ago, the paper leads that were out there, there's a couple big sites out there that were pushing property management leads. They would send it out to you and 10 other agencies, 10 other property management companies. You weren't that first one, you were done. You lost it then and there. And that's the same thing now with, you know, even on your own website, because as soon as they hit that form on your site, they're going to the next one. They don't, people are so used to people not answering the phone. And businesses could do so much better if they would just answer the phone or have processes in place that touch that tenant very quickly. So we have, you know, we use, high level in our company, in property management, there's very specific CRMs that are out there that most property management companies use. And some of them are great. Some of them are not so great. Some of them we're trying to get into different areas. But it's really having those automations put in that are going to touch them right away. Because if you're on the phone talking to a lead, another lead comes in, you need to be able to touch that person and say, no, hey, I got your, you know, lead, and then follow up with them, communicate with them. So whether it be texting or emailing, or I personally think both, right away off do an automation, but you have to be within that first, I say 3 minutes, even not even five, to truly have that conversion rate. Cause once you get past that, it definitely changes, just because people want instant gratification. If you can give it to them, then they're on to the next thing.
That's fair. And speaking of instant gratification, I'm curious what the relationship is with these property management firms that are hiring you to do their work and the reporting side of an agency, and whether LLMs and their capabilities have shifted from, you know, the old school of, hey, here's Google Analytics, here's a few screenshots from Search Console, here's how you're doing, to, you know, either a deck that is pulled from Google MCPs, Google Analytics, Search Console, Microsoft Clarity, or whether you're still going back to, you know, like Zapdigist as like a pretty good dashboard. I've used them a few times for my project. So what seems to be the level of request for that reporting from your clients, and how are you delivering that?
So my business partner, Lacey Hendricks, is a genius of sense. We have actually custom dashboards for our clients that we have built out, and they can access them anytime. Their APIs through them, through Google and all the different things. It's a one-stop shop for kind of all the reporting. And yes, the biggest, you know, in property management right now, property managers are being beat over the head with AI. Everything's AI. So that's what they're asking about these days. But a lot of the clients are seeing it already in their business. Like, you know, we have this one client in Tampa, and he sends us an email every time he gets a lead from like ChatGPT or something. He's so excited about it that it's working. He's like, it's actually working. He's like, I got one from Claude today. And, so the tracking is very important for us as far as how the leads are coming in and things like that. So on all of our, pretty much the lead forms, we tell them, you know, put on there, don't make it required, but put on there, you know, how'd you hear about us? And I think that's something that a lot of property management companies miss out on, is because if they don't know where their leads are coming, they don't know what's working. And having that in there and having, you know, obviously the back end tracking and things like that is works, but, putting it out there and don't make it a required field, but if they fill it out, that's just more information for you to put in your pocket and know how to leverage it. We have custom dashboards for each of our clients that give them everything, but it also has their support tickets. She's made this whole thing that's basically, it's hosted on a site. They can sign in anytime, see what's going on. SEMrush is API'd into this. They get a full kind of gamut of whatever they want all in one place. But again, we very much push that vanity metrics don't matter in this industry, because they don't. It's a piece of it. You know, you want to know the traffic that helps you kind of put the bigger picture together, but we want to know how many doors they're adding on, how many leads they're truly getting. So we have that on there. That's what we start every, you know, dashboard with, is that, because we have them update it monthly with us. And then we have our meetings where, like, looking, like you said, you were talking to your client and seeing, like, what are they qualified leads, or what are we doing here? Is this not the kind of intent that we should want it here? That's where our specialty lies, is we're both from the property managers. My partner is too. She's still actually I left the industry in February of this year, to do this full time. And it's really been interesting, because she's still in it. She is part of her heritage branch. Her family owns the company in San Antonio. And, so she's still in it, and I get to see her on whenever on video, she's looking there, and I see the property management hustle and bustle in the background, and I don't miss it. We know the industry. We know what the clients are going through. We know what their processes are. We know not to call them on the first of the month. You know, things like the intricacies of property management. And, that's where our specialty lies, because our content is more specialized too. It's not that, you know, just fluff, don't really have any kind of, they're getting eaten a lot of their content already, because we have it. We're just kind of transferring it over to them. And it's a unique space to be, because we came from it. We were operators. We've done it. We've lived it. And now we're able to help them on this side. And it's been great, because I helped owners for so many years, and, the companies that I worked for and all these things. And now it's like, we're actually being able to help a lot of companies and help them grow. And especially now in this market, things are going to get hard for property management companies out there. It's coming. It's definitely coming. And every real estate agent out there is most likely going to try to be a property manager in the next couple of years. And that never goes well. Look at 2009. And this business is guaranteed monthly recurring revenue. And when markets shift and, you know, sales aren't being, or property houses aren't being sold, everyone rushes into here. So this is the time for the expert property manager to really leverage themselves. And we're telling people, you know, if you're not leveraging for AI now in 12 to 24 months, you're not going to be found. And it's really important that we're having to do a lot of education for those clients as well. Just to say, hey, you need to make the jumps and do it now, because I think it's going to be even faster than 12 to 24 months. The way AI is moving and things are coming out, I don't know. What's your AI of choice?
I'm Claude. I have right now open six different Claude Code command terminal interfaces. One's revamping the inside of SEO Arcade. I'm writing an ebook right now while we're talking. But it took me a while to get here, because I started just on Claude Web, and then it took me a while to realize, oh, hey, Claude Desktop can do more and do more differently. And then one of my guests, Mason McCumber, helped get me wired into Claude Code with dangerously skip permissions. Anybody that's using Claude should make that leap. There was a great post by Gus Pelogia he put up a tutorial on how to hook up your basic MCPs for marketing. And I think anybody that hasn't taken the time to do so should absolutely put that on the top of their list. I know I feel so dumb for having taken so long to get to this point.
I'm feeling really dumb right now. What's the secret you're gatekeeping?
Okay. So first is you need to, there's an MCP for Google Tag Manager. That's level one, because then across all of your properties that you have, you can then, have it with a prompt properly create the right event tagging. And also, I kind of doubled down. I use both Google Analytics and Microsoft Clarity for tagging. So I get two views of the same data set, because Google Analytics has been so obtuse to get data out of that an MCP is finally opening that up. But if you haven't been collecting the data on the up correctly in the first place, like I have been creating different, you know, booking versions for different products and it across your suite, but you can manage that with a prompt once you have the MCP for Google Tag Manager. Then you have Google Analytics MCP and Google Search Console MCP and Microsoft Clarity MCP. Once you do that, then you can ask for a dashboard of comparative traffic, and you can do some really cool stuff. I wrote about this on OpenSEO site. You can gain visibility into those dark clicks on Google Search Console. You know how this happens a lot in small businesses. It'll say you have 200 clicks, and you look into the table, and it's like 50 of those clicks have named queries associated with it. Well, you can triangulate and see, okay, what are my actual ranking pages? What pages were flagged in Google organic traffic as a landing page, and you do the same with Microsoft Clarity. And then you take that picture, and so you can map out, okay, this is the actual number of visitors that came to that page, and you can guess, okay, it said that I only got these 10 clicks, but there's more traffic hidden. Is it different queries that it's not showing, or is it more clicks to those surfaced queries? Is always the question. But you can triangulate that. One, you can apply different regex to see if it's a brand, and see if that shifts the numbers of the overall clicks for that page. And then that will illuminate, oh, hey, these are brand in some way branded queries or unbranded queries in this dark shadow area. Then you can also look at, okay, well, this doesn't make sense. I am ranking number two for a keyword that has 500 visits per month, but it's not showing up in Google Search Console as a click. That's very likely that that's a source of a click. If you have a first page ranking showing up for that page, but you're not seeing a Google Search Console click for that keyword, then that's a strong candidate. And you can ask Claude to apply a mathematical model and say, predict based off of these multiple channels, where's my dart traffic? What are the probables for these? Because Google Search Console, it's a flawed, intentionally, flawed visibility into our keyword data. It's not great, but, you can surface things like that. So those are just a few of the things that I've been toying around with, writing about and exploring, recently.
You just ruined my weekend. Thank you, sir.
Well, the truth is it only takes like about an hour to go through and set up your MCPs.
I have most of them. Yeah. So those I do have.
But then you can go back and just creatively think, okay, well, give me a dashboard of my different view, type of visibility, you know, and compare. You can finally cross-reference Google Search Console and Google Analytics organic traffic data side by side in the same chart. I have fallen in love with Claude Code's ability to pop open a browser and make a visualization. Like, that's my favorite prompt is, hey, open a browser tab and show me four different ways to look at this data. And just asking it to be creative in that specific way. It doesn't invent new data. It's pulling from the APIs. You can draw your own conclusions after the fact of, oh, I want to refine this. But just being able to quickly generate visualizations and have, you know, surfacing these different stories about, okay, what's actually working? Like, you know, are my social channels in good? Is LinkedIn actually sending any leads, or am I just wasting my time there? You know, I started picking up TikTok just because I have so many clips from these interviews. I'm like, I get hundreds of views on my TikTok videos, possibly because I don't do the TikTok dances. Maybe I stand out. But does that actually mean I get more branded search because they saw Unscripted, or are they sticking on TikTok and now they just learned something? I don't know. But now that I've got things connected, now I can start asking questions like that and be able to work out the answer.
Yeah, that's been the biggest thing for me, is just an interpretation of data and being able to like see different trends and things within our clients, and so much so quick and so easy, and stuff that you'd never, like, it would take you years to find if you're looking just organically. And something you said, and I said this all the time, is like, why don't they make analytics and Search Console one thing? Like, just one, just marry it together, make us all happy. And, you know, it just back and forth, and just make it one beautiful product. And I think they'd make so many people happy.
They don't want to make us happy. That's the thing, Alex. They intentionally made GA4 to torture us. No, seriously. If you look at the product management map for Google Analytics 4, go back to Google Analytics 3. It was heavy, but it was useful, and you could get to the data easily. The Marquis de Sade, the ultimate sadist in history, could not have created a better torture program than GA4 as a product management course. It is intentionally obtuse because they have an alternate higher level product that they're trying to push you to. And they were willing to cut off their nose to spite their face to push for monetization that way, because GA3 was too good of an information product, and especially before not provided. I don't know if you're that old in the game, but there was a time where in Google Analytics, they would literally tell you what keywords were driving traffic to your page. Oh yeah, we had that data. It was a miraculous time, and then they took it away, and we've been crying ever since. But it's intentional. The program's broken on purpose, so they're not going to make it better. So we have to take what they offer, which is, you know, data collection, combine it with other data collection sources, and now, you know what? You can make your own with a few prompts. Take a couple hours and say, hey, I want a Google Analytics 3 style interface that I can come back to at this URL that updates daily with new information pulled from these different sources. you can do that now without paying thousands of dollars for a developer to come up with the framing and wire work.
Yeah, it's just been amazing with just over the past 6 months how it's changed, and it's what we can do in our businesses. It's amazing that we have these tools now, and just it's going to be, we're 6 months from now, where is it going to be? That's what I want to know. Like, what's going to be, it's going to be crazy. I just don't know, like, what's next. And I think that's what's exciting about this. And like, you just don't know what's next, and whatever comes out, whatever they push, you know, their next update, it's like, that's cool. I didn't know, you know, it's learning. I'm a very big, I'm a tinkerer, and I like to try new things. And, you know, there may be 70 versions of something before I get something that to where I like it. But it's like, once you get it there, it's like, okay, we can really use this to automate parts of our business and, display information better to our clients to where they can actually understand it. Because in our industry, property management, operators and owners, they do not have the time, energy, or effort to learn any of this stuff. So we have to make it very easy. We have to make it very, most of them don't even look at it, to be honest with you. I don't think they're like, here, am I getting leads? We're good. But some of them really want to get into the data. And it's like, we have to kind of have that happy medium of both. And, it's just really great to see that we can actually present this so much easier to them, into a place where they can actually digest it and then get back to their daily life.
I'm curious. It seems to me that property management would be heavily geo focused. But I'm curious if that translates to like a Google local type of play, or is it geography without the local play, because you're targeting owners. So is it, you know, creating, you know, Sarasota, Florida pages for your product manager in that region, and creating, you know, I don't know geographically what's next to Sarasota, but like, do you hit all of the cities next to it with individual city pages, or is it, you know, creating topical content that's tied to the geography? Like, what's the play there to reach a more nuanced, like a more niche audience? Because I'm sure there are fewer people that own homes than, or own second homes that could be up for rent or rental properties, versus, you know, people that are looking to rent, which is heavily, you know, geo. That's obvious. You got to do the Google My Business entry. But I'm curious of that facet of local optimization.
Yeah. So property management is hyper local. It's, you are looking, when wherever they're at, they're looking very specifically into an area. So we build out, you know, all their city pages in the surrounding area. So I'm in Orlando. You would build out all the cities around, any city that they're in. I even go as deep as, sometimes depending how, like Orlando, we have sub communities that are communities within themselves. You know, eat, work, play kind of places. That's one thing that companies don't do. They don't leverage those areas. So there may be 100, or, you know, 50,000 homes in this one community, and people are looking for it because it's like, you know, let's say Baldwin Park is here, one here in Orlando. No one's building out those sub-city pages, those like sub-community pages. And that was a big win for me when I was in here, because there's so many people looking to rent out their home in those areas, and they're not looking for Orlando. They're looking for Baldwin Park because it's a mindset at the same, you know, for these people that are actually living there, and really going that kind of granular into it and getting them into those kind of sub city pages. And then also it's the Google My Business. It's everything out there. It's so many different aspects of it. It's just trying to get as many of those localities out there that just really allow them to show up. Cause again, they're not looking for, you know, if you're in Orlando and you're in these sub-communities, you're not looking for Orlando property management. So getting down to that really granular aspect of where they are, and it may be the keyword, you know, grab may not be as big because it's not Orlando, but it's very, people who are looking for that are looking for that. Those are the highest of intent. And it really helps conversion with those. And I think that people, you know, and one thing I always see wrong in property management companies is there's a player in this space that is very much part of the problem, but also has a very wide net in this industry, and they don't do it right. And I'll go to someone's page. I met with a client this week that we were pitching to, and his homepage was put to a specific city. And he's like, I don't really want to work in that city though. So he's like, why does your homepage have that there? I'm like, because it was the biggest city, but it's also one of the, it was also very highly concentrated. There's so many property managers. So it's the, there's so many, some competition in this area, but the city he actually wants to rank for doesn't have that much competition. And he could really dominate that, but they told him that that's the market to do. And it's like things like that. It's just like, there's so many bad actors in this thing, but it's like, I was like, change that right now. I was like, if you want to be in this market, that's where you go. And like, there's like really, it's wide open fields over here. Run.
Yeah. I think that's an archaic standby because that used to be best practice of like, oh, you know, you're in Cookeville. It's an hour out of Nashville, you know, but there's no traffic there, you know, so it's all based off of search volume numbers. And that's, you're right. There's aspects of that that are totally wrong. You know, the market here, you know, it's an hour away, which in California, like an hour is not a, you know, that's, you're still in the same city, but here,
San Orlando, yeah.
Yeah. But here in Tennessee, an hour's drive, there's like 8 fully developed cities between us and Nashville. And it's a big deal when we have to go into the city. And the people that want to live out here, not the same as you want to move into that metro. So, yeah, I think that is a relic of a bygone age where, you know, search volume numbers mattered so much for, you know, that primary homepage targeting. But you're right, like if he doesn't even service in that city, then, and you have something of value you can offer into the particular niche, I'd rather have, you know, 10 highly qualified local prospects specific to my community than 100 for somebody somewhere where I'm not physically there. It'd be
you drive an hour and all that. Yeah, exactly. Makes no sense.
No sense.
No. So you're in Nashville, right outside. You said you're outside of Nashville.
Yeah, I'm a hour east of Nashville in Cookeville, Tennessee.
So I actually was raised in Kentucky, so very familiar. But I was actually stuck in Nashville during your last snowstorm back in February. So that was fun. That was an interesting time to be.
The occasional snowstorms we get, like if we're not prepared at all, so everything gets iced over and blocked in. Every four years.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It wasn't a snowstorm. It was an ice storm. It was very much an ice storm.
Yes. I remember John Henshaw, he posted up pictures of his tree is totally covered in ice. We didn't have it quite so bad out here. Some good snow, nice layer of ice a few days, but it was harsh in Nashville for sure.
Yeah, they canceled my flight on like the sixth day, and I was like, I don't care what it costs to get me out of here. I got on a Southwest flight back to Orlando, and I was kissing the ground as soon as I landed.
I'm curious when it comes to the LLMs and the processes that you're adopting, are you taking the attitude of, you know, like Matt Brooks of Esoteric, he says you have to treat it like you're educating your customer support representative. Giving them the details about your business and program. Stop trying to look for, you know, the cheat code. You can't just upload a schema document. You have to go deep and actually put up all of the details, the pricing, the pain points, your unique selling proposition, what's your voice. And then, you know, is that your perspective or is there some nuance I'm missing?
I'd say it's that, but here's the thing. Everything is changing so fast with the LLMs that no one has any real data on what's working, what's not. You just kind of go by what you're seeing in there. We track that heavily. And one of the things that I kind of leverage every kind of, I start every kind of LLM optimization essentially for answer the question. This is what people don't get. People want to know when they get to a property management site, they want to know what you said. What's the price? What's your ICP? You know, all these different things. So just answer the questions and answer them quickly and get to it because I see a lot of times people try to, these companies, and I think it's come from the industry itself and just lawsuits and all these things surrounding it. Just put it out there. Be transparent. transparency in everything in our industry is so important because one, it earns you the trust. It earns you, you know, all these different factors there, but put it all out there. Say who you are, you know, I always tell them like, put a video that just kind of lays it out of like what your goal is for your company and like what you're trying to do. Because like, seriously, we hear property management companies all the time. They all say, oh, we want to help tenants and owners, you know, live a happy world. No, you don't. That's not what you want to do. You want to make money. You want to make a change or whatever. But people who really win are the ones that, we have this client in Boise. They're awesome. They have this really, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to say what it is, but, they have this really cool outlook on how they do property management. And when they told me that, I was like, that's it. I was like, you need to be pushing that in your messaging. And it's something they just said in their office and like, it just kind of like internally. And I was like, no, like that is great. I was like, and, we started doing some new messaging around that and it's really worked because it works in their market. And it's like not an internal joke, but there was someone that did something internally with it and it just worked in their market and people like ate it up. And just being truthful to who you are. If you're not that professional, you know, wearing a tie, kind of person, don't present that on your website. You know, come as you are and do what if you present yourself. And this goes to your website. You present yourself as how you show up every day in the day-to-day world. If you're not a suit and tie guy, don't wear a suit and tie in your headshot. You know, like stuff like that. It's very, just present yourself as who you are. And that's the authenticity comes through, I think, everything.
It's like the big real estate agent billboards that's like, everything we touch turns to sold. And they're like, hosed in suits. And you're like, that is... I don't want to talk to that person. I don't want their help.
If I was buying a $7 million house, maybe, but I'm not today. Yeah. When I am, I will call that person. Actually, I'll call myself because I am a realtor. So
I love that perspective because so many internal conversations, so many, discussions, with my clients in the past, like I wish that I had the technology I had now to capture, you know, those conversations. And there's so many options now for, you know, capturing your interviews, you know, or those meetings that you have and saying, hey, can I use this part? I want to take this and massage it, you know, or hey, I need to sit down with the person that actually does this thing. I did this with that in Florida with Permacast. Like I actually interviewed not just the CEO, but the guy that went on the site to install these things. I'm like, what keeps you from getting things installed? Well, we need a runway. We need this much land so our cranes can sit on it next to the wall that we're putting in. And we need, you know, access point and we need this and that. I'm like, I looked across their site. That's nowhere. But it's something that adds like days, weeks, or months to their timeline to deliver because communicating those things doesn't happen on the upfront. Like, let's save you that delivery time if you don't have a driver waiting for hours to pull in because there's nowhere that a truck can come through because you didn't identify that in the spec. Like, that's money that you're spending for the same build and it's just burning money.
I think that's what just... Put it out there. Put your story out there. And if it's a sales park manager, just put it out there. Put it all out there. And I think when you're unapologetic about it and you put the ask and you put, you know, the truth, I think that's when it shows through. Because here's the thing. Property management websites, they're all templated. Most of them usually. They all have the same content. They hate nothing. Google, you know, if you think Google doesn't recognize you, everyone else sees it when they come to your site and we hear it all the time and everyone knows it. And that's what's sick about this industry is everyone knows they have the same content. They have the same templates. They don't care because they've been wrapped up in this thing. So we're shaking it up and we're letting people know that, hey, if you do it right, you follow the rules. Google gives you all the rules. They give you all the tools to make it happen, you know, and, you know, AI is changing it up because you don't know. We have no idea. We're in the wild, wild west with that, but it's like, well, soon enough, we'll start figuring it out and, there'll be that pathway and just making sure that you're doing something and doing something more than the next person next to you. And that's, you see wins.
I absolutely love that perspective. I think my hypothesis is that we're going to see a renaissance of human-led content, a renaissance of faces first, personalities first, because LLM slop, AI slop, as my friend McDougald puts it, is ruining the internet. So it's better just to be yourself than to put out something fake. And it's much better just to mind, you know, have a conversation and use that as the basis for your marketing materials than rather than trying to find stock photography and, you know, the easiest template to put out there.
So the constant time when you're in your city, take pictures, do things. You have those real, those, you know, just stuff that's fresh on there. And like, that's what you're going to see win. Like you're driving around town on a Sunday, grab some new photos, you know, send them over to us. We'll upload them. It's just be different. I think that's what it all, just be different. That's what they want. They don't want the same thing. They want something new. They want something fresh. And it's going to translate to all the markets.
Absolutely love that. Do you have like a concrete tactic or SOP or marketing workflow that you're executing on a regular basis as we kind of wrap this up? I'm curious, like, what's a tactical win that you're doing on a regular basis?
Actually, what I'm doing on a regular basis. Well, one thing about us is, I think for our company, is we've set ourselves apart, and it's a great thing for us, but it's also operationally, it's a scalable thing. I think it might, we'll have to do one day to talk about, but every client has a custom strategy. And I think that's another thing that no one did in our industry, was they were just blanking it across the board, checking all the boxes. We've customized it for every client. So we're really looking at it, and we audit that, you know, very frequently to make sure that we're doing the right things. But I'd say, you know, we just leverage in our industry, no one leverages the technical. We get every site that we see is awful, usually, that when it comes to us, and just literally leveraging technical and putting a really big, you know, putting a lot of money behind that and starting with a great foundation. And I think that that's kind of how we are able to see a lot of wins in this industry, because there's one person that's kind of controlling the whole market. And when we're coming into their markets and we're getting someone with a proper site and getting them set up appropriately, that's where we're able to make some difference. And we're going to be shaking things up, and we already are. And it's been fun.
Well, if you want to check out what Alex is doing, I'm going to link his site into the show notes. If you're in property management, you know, if that's a niche that you're in and want his advice or want to see what he has to offer, check out the show notes. I'll add the link to that. Are there any resources that you've been developing recently to help the folk out?
Yeah. So we, about a couple weeks ago, we launched the 2026 PM SEO Opportunity Report, and it's a 32 page report of just data on, the property management industry and SEO. And it's some really cool things that are in there that kind of shocking, like just some of the data points, like less than 1% of property managers will get above a 30 DA, you know, things like that. Just like kind of just going into the, why are the opportunities for property management? And there really is a lot of opportunity. It's just, you have to harness that.
I absolutely love when we can, as SEOs, put out data about our, you know, what the opportunity is. I think it's a missing part of the business intelligence side of the table. When I've talked to a lot of C-suite, you know, I hear what they're asking for. I'm like, half of that's keyword data and trend data. Like, I can get some of that information for you. Not all of it. You know, there is a lot of, you know, business intelligence stuff that I can't do. But, you know, the times where I've been in with C-suite, and they've been asking questions, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh yeah, that's keyword research. Oh yeah, that's understanding, that's intent marketing. This he doesn't know this. I have this data. I'm very grateful for you jumping in at the last minute. Impromptu is always my style. So Alex, thank you very much. For the rest of my listeners, I've been adding new resources to SEO Arcade. There's a whole vault of SOPs and action items, PDFs that you can now get from the Unscripted SEO podcast. Check that out at seoarcade.com. If you want to see any specific previous interviews, you can check out the library. It's sorted by topic, unscriptedseo.com. Thank you all for stopping by.